So I was just watching this podcast, Based Camp with Malcolm and Simone Collins. They're these pronatalist couple, so they want to create a movement in which we're like encouraging people to have more kids and all that sort of thing. Because right now, in most developing or not developed most developed economies or developed nations, the birth rate is declining. So the only places in which they're seeing a population growth above replacement growth is usually places that do immigration. But the problem is that if you're doing immigration, you're immigrating from countries which are less developed, so you're doing brain drain and all that sort of thing. But I won't get into the details of the pronatalist movement. We'll talk about that in a future thing. But what this Base Camp episode was ostensibly about was whether or not to record your kids and make sure they have like a public profile and presence and that sort of thing. And I'm not really going to talk about the child side of it. And I think they made a lot of good arguments on that. So go watch that if you want to look into what they talk about. But the thing that really got me about it was that they brought up something that reminded me of why I do this podcast in the first place, which is that it seems to me that having some sort of digital presence today is the place that allows you to have the most impact and leverage on the world. Because it's basically like a billboard advertisement of some sort of representation of yourself. And through that billboard representation of yourself, because they might not get everything about you, or you might be misconstruing who you actually are in order to get a certain type of demographic to look at you. But what it allows you to do is whoever your follower count is a certain demographic of people. So you're building up, or through you as like the centralizing force, you're building up a community of people that are similar to you, or similar to the way that you present yourself on. Let me adjust this because I don't like that the brightness got so much. Can I do that well? Sure, we'll do that. But so when you have this billboard representation of yourself and people start following that, the people that are following that because of the type of content that you're making. Whether it be your Instagram following, it's because of the kind of photos that you have and how you're presenting yourself that way. If it's your YouTube presence, then it's the type of sub videos that you're making and the things that are resonant topically to those people. So as you build up the following, you have this community of people that overlap with you in some kind of way. And because you have that overlap with this community, it allows you to have more, build a stronger network of people that are like you, that have the same sort of values as you, that have the same goals as you, and all that sort of thing. So it reminded me of like what the purpose of this podcast is to have a digital representation of me in the most high fidelity way possible. Because the problem with Instagram is one, I don't make enough photos. So because I don't take enough photos in my day-to-day life, it's just not something that I do in terms of it's not the medium in which I want to communicate. And then there could be Twitter followings, and Twitter's another area where it's like I don't like the fact that there's a skill to doing short form tweets, and I do not want to build up that skill. I don't really have a notion of building up that skill. The second thing is that Twitter as like an engagement, or as a poster to Twitter, this is probably why it's a minority of people that post to Twitter, minority of people on Twitter in general, and minority of the minority posting, in terms of like its social media presence is lower than that of Facebook, Instagram, etc. Is that engaging on Twitter, it just doesn't, it feels odd because you're like, okay, you read this tweet and then you reply to the tweet and then you make your own post on your own thing. But it seems to me weird because Twitter doesn't make sense until you have a following of some kind to me. Like when you're going from zero followers, then you're just replying to other people that have an audience and then hoping that those people look at you. And I don't know. It seems weird to me. Like, it doesn't make sense to me to do like a normal post to Twitter and oh my god, the sun went down, so now I should have just stayed bright the whole time. Yeah, but it doesn't make sense to me to like do a normal post to Twitter if that's going to no one. So it seems like you have to start with the replying and then hope that that builds traction and then go from there. I don't know. It seems it's very confusing environment. Whereas the podcasting space is like so clearly just, oh my God, this guy is just journaling his thoughts. Oh my God. Oh, this guy has thoughts that relate to my thoughts. Oh my God. So it seems way more apt for being able to be as authentically you as possible, because the perception of me on this podcast and the recording and everything should hopefully be overlapping with the perception of what I would be if you met me in real life. So the hope is that through this, there are enough people that care about being like, oh, this guy has interesting ideas, or this guy is similar to me in ways, so I will continue to look into this guy. And then you build up stuff from there. Because the thing that the internet allows you to do is that the network effect is no longer geographical. So the algorithms do a good enough job of boosting your video to the people that would most likely enjoy it. And then those people look at it, and then those people might stick around. And then as you have more people that start to stick around, then you start building up that digital presence, digital community. And then you can leverage that to be like, oh, now I know a lot of people that have interests that overlap with me. And then we can all come together and come up with better ideas because we can all support each other and all that sort of thing. Whereas, previously, all of the, I'm going to just say intellectual capital was or even creative capital. All of the creative is also intellectual. But anyway, yeah. All of it was concentrated. Oh my God, son. Was concentrated in various geographic locations, which were these major cities. So you had major cities that were always taking the most talented, bright people. And then they had to build community in that geographical location. But now that you have social media, then you can have it be more distributed across different geographic locations. It doesn't matter to me where this person's from if we can all talk on a Discord channel. So it's, yeah. So very, yeah, it's just that whole video brought up that point. And then the second thing about it is back to that authenticity point. For because you want the demographic, or my goal anyway, is to have the demographic people that are watching me to be watching me because they're like, oh, I like what this guy is about. So you want to be as authentic as, or I want to be as authentic as possible in order to leverage that, where it's like, oh, okay, people are coming here for me, and then you can go from there. But the issue with that is how authentic to yourself do you want to be, and how worried are you about the repercussions of being truly who you are? When you think out the whole thing logically, and this was something brought up in the podcast, is that if people don't like you, then they won't like you. And you just have to be accepting of that. And I think we understand this. We understand this pretty well in like an in-person environment where we have friends that are like, yeah, they're friends with you because they like you as a person. And then you have other people that just don't jive well with your personality. And you're like, okay, well, not everyone needs to jive with my personality. I only need the few people. But then when it comes to the online presence, we don't have that same sort of understanding of, oh, this audience likes me because of this thing, but they're not going to like me because of this thing. But that's okay, because I still have this other audience that likes me because of the totality of me and not because of just the fact that I agree with them or whatever the case may be. So we have a better sense of that, but it's just because the hate stuff is scaled more. So it's difficult to deal with. I remember this is a great example of me not having thick skin to post online, was I posted to Reddit, to my university page's Reddit. And I was posting, so in my university page's Reddit, a lot of people post their schedules and they're like, oh, is this a difficult schedule or is this a hard schedule of like their courses and stuff? So I posted my schedule and courses and stuff, and it was a difficult schedule with three of the hardest classes in the curriculum sort of thing. And they were like, bro, you shouldn't do this. You're so stupid. Why would you do this? And it got like heavily downvoted and all this other stuff. And I remember just that small modicum of negative biasing and all that sort of stuff was like so hard to handle when I was in school. I didn't delete the post. Like I think I could still find this post on Reddit. I'm going to put that in the comments, not comments, put that in the description. If I find it, I'll put the Reddit post that I made of my schedule. I didn't end up using that schedule and it did end up being harder. So I had to like change some things around a bit, but in general, in school, I took on more difficult courses in overlapping than most other people. So even though I got all the hate and stuff, was, I think it was more an example of like, how this is going to make me sound terrible, but how unimpressive other people are with they're not doing the same level of work as me. And because most people are average, even amongst people in my major of I was an electrical computer engineer. So that's already a difficult major amongst engineers. And then from there, you have like the average of that looking at my schedule and being like, yo, you're even crazy for people in our major. So it's like, okay, that just gave me more representation of how, how unimpressive other people are with not being able to fathom that you would ever possibly do this thing. You were definitely gonna die from it. That's my sense of it. Now, admittedly, they're right on like the direct point of that schedule, but not the overarching, you're going to die in general if you do anything hard, because I did plenty of hard things when I was in college. So, So that was like a small modicum of how the negative bias made me like, oh my God, I never want to post ever again to Reddit because there's so much negativity, or I never post ever again to like any platform because of all the negative bias, because I don't know whether I'm the guy that has the skin for that. But I have to think about it in a broader scheme. And in the broad scheme of the thing, it's like, if you want more impact on the world, at some point, you'll have to have a public presence. And when you have that public presence, there will be more people than have ever cared to process that find that they don't like you. Because as you put your face out to more people, a higher proportion of them will probably dislike you than like you. Or a higher proportion of them will dislike you and be willing to tell you than like you and be willing to tell you. The people that like you might never tell you, or they just have a neutral opinion, so they just never make that like known. So it doesn't really matter. Whereas the people that hate you, plenty of them won't say anything, but a lot of them will say something if they really hate you. So you have to go in cognitively understanding that. Also recognize the emotions that will come from that negativity and keep going despite that, because you'll have more leverage if you're able to have a larger following. I think that's honestly what you have to do, because at this point, I think that the algorithms, at least on TikTok and YouTube, I'm not sure about the other platforms, how well they do at this, but YouTube does a phenomenal job of serving your video to people. And this is why the Mr. Beast concept of title thumbnail matters so much, because if you make good enough content and then your title and thumbnail, which is like the packaging of the packaging of the video, then more people will click on the video, and then once they've clicked on the video, now they're in the video, and now that they're in the video, then you can convert more, and the things cascade from there. So YouTube will serve your video it just has to be a good enough video that people want to stick around is basically how that goes. So yeah, this is the 10th podcast. So kind of great that I made it to 10 podcasts. I'm glad I'm still doing it. And yeah, this is the back to the point of the podcast. The point is to me personally have a digital presence so that I can take advantage of having that digital presence. And then I have to deal with the consequences of being public online as well. And I'm willing to deal with the consequences because the upside is very good. Because anyone that's watching this and watches it for a long period of time or subscribes or whatever will be someone that probably overlaps with me. And that's a good thing to be able to build out that network. And it's something that has a lot more long-term leverage than the in-person equivalent. You just can't reach as many people in an in-person environment. Not to mention the people that you're meeting in the in-person environment might not overlap with you. So your hit rate's just going to be way lower. Your hit rate might be higher initially in an in-person environment versus the digital, because the digital, yeah, it is hard to get things off the ground digitally. But yeah, that's basically the point of, I want this podcast to be something where it's like, if you were to watch a lot of this podcast, you would know enough about me to know what my personality is, to kind of know what my takes on various things are. And then you'd be like, oh, okay, I know more or less the totality of this person. And because I know the totality of this person, I like him. Thumbs up, I don't like him. And then you go on from there. And then, you know, I have enough thumbs up of people that like me that you can go and leverage that from there. Is this for a political thing? Is this for some other thing? This isn't for anything at this point. It's just you want to have optionality in your life. So this is a way to build some sort of optionality. And then are there privacy concerns to being more public? Yes, but you know, you just have to deal with that. Anyone that ends up making a major impact on the world, they tend to be fairly public people and they probably dealt with the consequences of that. So I guess I have to deal with the consequences whenever those show up. So anyway, hope you liked the video. Like the video if you liked it. Dislike if you dislike. Leave a comment letting me know why you like or dislike, what you found interesting about this. Be sure to watch that Basecamp podcast. Really good episode. They put it in a far more candid or blunt way than I would. And then it's also about the broader, like, recording your children online and the effects of that, when it matters, when it doesn't matter, those sorts of things. So yeah, be sure to do that. And I will see you all in whatever the next episode is. Bye. And sorry about the sun coming in and out. That was annoying.